Hare Krishna. It's a pleasure to be here in Sri Sri Radha Kalachanji Dham with all of their devotees. Kind of caught me by surprise that I'd be giving class today, so just trying to figure out something to say. So in this, today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 39th chapter, text number 32. Strinam evam rudhantinam udite savitaryata akruras chodayam asa kta matradikoratam srinam evam rudhantinam udite udite savitaryata akruras chodayam asa kta maitradikoratam. Nam eva vrdhantinam udite savitaryata akruras chodayamasa vittam maitraditoratam. Vaishnavis. Strinam, the women, evam, in this manner, rudantinam, while they were crying, udite, rising, savitari, the sun, atta, then, akrura, chodayamasa, started, kṛta, having performed, maitra-adhika, his morning worship and other regular duties, ratam, the chariot. Translation and purport by servants of Śrīla Prabhupāda. But even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akrura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. Please repeat. But even as the gopis cried, even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akrura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. Purport. According to some Vaishnava authorities, Akura offended the gopis by not consoling them when he took Krishna to Mathura. And because of this offense, Akura was later forced to leave Dwarka and be separated from the king, from Krishna, during the episode of the Shamantaka jewel. At that time, Akura had to take up an ignoble residence in Varanasi. Apparently, Mother Yashoda and other residents of Vrindavan were not crying like the gopis, for they sincerely believed that Krishna would be coming back in a few days. Chakshurumilitam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swaha Patantikam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatarishatarine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the, this verse is the transitional verse between the lamentation of the gopis and Krishna's departure for Vrindavan. Now, of course, these, I just looking at these verses quickly here, such a pitiable, transcendentally appreciable, pitiable condition of the gopis. It's like many times, because I frequently in airports, I see the people crying, or the loved ones are leaving and they're crying, standing in the line, waiting, you know, like see them go through the checkpoint, the TSA, and you know, until they get the last glimpse, you know. And these are just material people with material relationships. Because every relationship is coming from Krishna. You know, it's based on Krishna, coming from Krishna. Then they're doing the same thing. Doing the right thing with the wrong person. So everything we're doing the right thing with the wrong people, or the right sentiment, but the wrong expression. So that's how we understand everything is coming from Krishna. One time I was in Venezuela talking about doing the right thing in totally the wrong way. One couple had come, and somebody told me they're from such and such other Vaishnav group whose leader unfortunately had left Krishna consciousness. And so after the kirtan, I invited him, so will you stay for the class? No, 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 we have to go to the movies. Because there's a nice romantic movie and it reminds us so much of Radha and Krishna. So it's right to think of Radha Krishna, but this is the wrong way. And this is one of the biggest difficulties in Krishna consciousness. Because these sentiments are so strong within us, to relate to others, family members, husband, wife, children, it's natural because they are the objects of our affection. But they are not the ultimate object of our affection. A Krishna conscious devotee will see that my love for my children is coming from Krishna. That doesn't diminish it, it actually increases. It increases it because we can understand what it really is, what it really means. Otherwise, why would the Bhagavatam say again and again, discuss again and again, like in the case of Chitraketu. He loved his son, but then both Angira Muni and Narad Muni instructed him that who were you really loving? No. And who is this person? So when he was awakened by mystic potency, his son said, which father are you? No. I've had so many fathers, so which one? Which one are you? And how many more will I have? And it just like sticks flowing down the river, sometimes they're united and sometimes they're separated. So in the same way, sometimes we're with this person, sometimes with that person. So he said, please let me go on to my destiny. And similarly, in the ecstatic kirtan of Mahaprabhu in the house of Shivas, on one occasion when his son died, Shivas' son died, and Shivas hushed his wife and other ladies who were lamenting, that don't disturb the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. So certainly, all of these sentiments are wonderful, but if they're not seen in relation to Krishna, then they become the source of misery. The very source of happiness becomes the source of misery. No. Of course, here we can see, one may argue, someone who doesn't understand what's going on here, or even in the neophyte stage, we may argue, just like sometimes I hear, even sometimes from devotees, why is Krishna doing this? No. Why is Krishna doing these things? Of course, even in the Bhagavatam, we find that question. Why is Krishna doing Pariksha Maharaj at the beginning of every pastime? Why is Krishna doing this? Why is Krishna doing this? No. Why? How can a demon like Britrasura be such a transcendentalist? All these questions. And questioning Krishna. But he's not questioning Krishna out of doubt. He's thinking that, why would Krishna do things in this way? He's so wonderful. Actually, he's simply opening up the unlimited storehouse of nectar that we find in Krishna's pastime. No. And he's also demonstrating how material consciousness, while the consciousness, whatever consciousness we have in this atmosphere, this material atmosphere, this entrapped in this body and seeing things through the body, even though one may be enlightened, even though one may be a very very capable, very learned, still Krishna's pastimes are bewildering. So much so that Queen Kunti said this, Vidambanam, that your pastimes are wonderfully bewildering. So wonderfully bewildering because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the lover of Mother Yashoda. You are the savior of the fallen conditioned souls. You are the protector of the earth. And therefore, who can understand which one of these wonderful, unlimited pastimes is actually the main, what you really want? But what she's actually revealing is that all of these things are what Krishna wants. Krishna can have unlimited desires. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. Krishna can satisfy everyone's desire. And because we all have different desires, it means that his desires are unlimited. And in satisfying his desire, he satisfies everyone's desire. So the gopis, their lamentation is blissful. It's a misery, but misery in the spiritual world, on the spiritual platform, causes bliss. So in the previous verses 23 through 27, were the gopis' manifestation of envy. And who are they envious of? They're envious of the ladies of Mathura. No. They begin by saying, as soon, because previous to that, they're discussing, they haven't even been separated from Krishna. Of course, they have been separated. They have been separated because every day they're separated by Krishna. And every time there's a little flurry of dust rising up in the air, they're thinking, oh, how wonderful, Krishna's returning early today. It's only midday. But then they see that it just dissipates in the air. God, just the wind. You know? Whenever they, anything they see, when they see the sun coming up, they say, oh, cruel sun, why have you come to destroy our very source of happiness, which is our time with Krishna? Because during the day, only Srimati Radharani, maybe a few of her, of course, her maidservants, the Manjaris, and a few of the gopis, maybe Lalita and Vishakha, could accompany her. But nobody else. No. Nobody else could see Krishna during the day. And even that was very fortunate. Of course, in the eternal pastimes of Krishna, every day at certain times she comes and picks flowers in Kusham Sarovaram, and then Krishna will be standing nearby in the lake playing his flute, smiling. And then, in Bhoma Vrindavan, when Krishna manifests his pastimes, then she's not so fortunate. No. She's fortunate in remembering Krishna. So they had already experienced association. One of these verses, they say that all this time we've been with Krishna, all these 11 years, no, most of the acharyas calculated 11 years, that we've been with Krishna has just been like a fleeting moment. And now even the anticipation of separation from Krishna has become an endless darkness. But even worse than that endless darkness is the fact that we will die. Of course, dying is better than living without Krishna. But then if we die, we'll be forever without Krishna. No. Because we may not be so fortunate in the next birth to be born where Krishna is. No. Certainly we're simple village girls who have no good karma. If we had good karma, we would have been born in Mathura, where Krishna's going. And we would have all these sophisticated abilities and skills and be very beautiful. We're simple village girls. We're not very beautiful. Of course, the gopis are the most beautiful personalities in the whole existence. But they consider themselves not very beautiful. Just like, especially in India, you can see that the Shudra class is generally not very attractive, you know, because they're hardworking. They're working from young age, and out in the sun, and you know, difficult conditions. You know. Very different from the queens of Dwarka, who are very so nicely taken care of with oil baths. And there's a guy visited one Ayurvedic doctor, and he said, "Now all these Americans and Europeans come for all these." This panchakarma and all these oil baths. Previously, only kings would get this. Very expensive. Previously, only kings could have this treatment. So the queens of Mathura and the ladies of Mathura, brought up in the city, very soft skin, beautiful, wonderful cosmetics, and their body were just village girls. Not very attractive, not very strong. Not very intelligent. No. How can we compete with these well-educated ladies who will be speaking so nicely? So they were feeling this way in so many verses. They were expressing in this way. Some of them said, Krishna has promised to come back. And others said, even if he wanted to come back, no, how will he be able to resist the charm of these ladies? How will he be able to resist the attractions of this capital city? Just like one time I remember I was in Hong Kong, and so I could easily tell the difference between the Chinese nationals and the residents of Hong Kong. There's the residents of Hong Kong walking around doing their business, and all the people that came from mainland China, they're looking like this, looking at the buildings. You know, never seen buildings like that coming from the villages, you know, looking around, just completely in awe at everything they're seeing, you know, taking. They couldn't, most of them couldn't even take pictures because they didn't have a camera, but you know, just completely awestruck. So they were thinking, when Krishna goes to the city, even apart from the fact that he'll be so attracted by these Mathura Vasinis, how will he, you know, he'll be just so enamored. How can we compete? Simple, of course, Nanda Maharaj's residence is not anything simple. He's the king of the cowherds. He has a beautiful marble palace, you know, and he's a king. But still, compared to Mathura, how can the palace of Nanda Maharaj and a few other places, cowherd sheds, be very attractive? Of course, Krishna was thinking, and they were thinking, Krishna's very cruel. He's getting up on his chariot. He's not even looking at us. But Krishna was not looking at them, because all night long and all morning long, he had heard from Akrura about the atrocities of Kamsa. So Krishna was very inspired to go and kill Kamsa. He had heard all these nasty things. So, and the reason he wasn't looking at the gopis was he thought that this would be a distraction. If I look at the gopis, then, no, I may not go to Mathura. So he didn't look at the gopis. No. And even Shukadeva Goswami, no, he was... In describing the lamentation and the plight of the gopis in this particular section, he didn't even describe, as it's stated here in the present verse, he didn't even describe the condition of Mother Yashoda, who the gopis were thinking, okay, Krishna can easily give us up. No. Actually, he can't give us up. No, how can he even think that he's giving us up because he's not our husband? No, we belong to others. We're not his property. If we were his property, then he could give us up. But he cannot give us up because we're not his property. We're the property of others. And therefore, Krishna is being very disrespectful. It doesn't matter that he disrespects us, but he's being very disrespectful to others. And this is not good. So sometimes they chastise Krishna like that, but they're actually just lamenting Krishna's separation from Krishna. And then I said, is he not going to think about Mother Yashoda? I think we have a moral obligation here. This is what the gopis were saying. We have a moral obligation because we have to inform Krishna that you can leave here, but do you understand? We have to go up to the chariot and we have to draw it to his attention. Do you understand that you will be responsible for the murder of countless women, innocent women? And even if you think that's okay, because you've shown us through all this time in Vrindavan that you have no consideration for us. No. You simply leave us, you call us into the forest, and then you insult us and send us home. And so many cruel things. So we can understand you'll probably have no problem in killing us. But what about Mother Yashoda? No. Can you so easily kill your mother? And then some of the gopis said, yes, he has affection for Mother Yashoda, but Krishna is not very considerate. No. He's certainly not thinking of this. And Shukadeva Goswami didn't even mention Mother Yashoda because he was thinking that the lamentation of the gopis is so intense, I cannot even think about her lamentation. And in any case, she's not lamenting. As it says here in the present purport, apparently Mother Yashoda and other residents of Vrindavan were not crying like the gopis, which is why Shukadeva Goswami was so affected. For they sincerely believed that Krishna would be coming back within a few days, because Nanda Maharaj had told them that he consoled the elderly gopis. He said, I'm going to Mathura, but I will take care of Krishna. Don't worry. I'll feed him. He'll sleep on my lap. No, I'll take care of him in every way possible. Although certainly that didn't happen. No. Krishna was whisked off by Akrura. And then when he arrived, he met up with Uddhava. And no, he just got totally carried away by his friendship with them. And actually, Nanda Maharaj didn't even see him again until he entered into the arena with Kamsa. So, but this was Nanda Maharaj's feeling. I'll take care of it, don't worry. So Yashoda, and he said, anyway, we'll be back in 2 days. We just have to go there, deal with Kamsa, and then we'll come back. And Yashoda Mai was thinking like this. Even after Nanda Maharaj returned, and he brought back jewels and all kinds of presents from Krishna to the gopis, they thought, Krishna thinks that we can be bought off so easily, that we can be purchased so easily with some trinkets, although they were very valuable necklaces and jewels. For the gopis, after seeing the beauty of Krishna, what is the beauty of a diamond or a ruby? They had no appreciation for such things. But then Nanda Maharaj, who still had faith that Krishna would be coming back in a few days, he said, Krishna has sent this. And then they thought, now we understand. Krishna has sent these things so that we can remember him and we can remember his kindness. And that kindness will certainly be demonstrated when he comes in a few days. So let us put on all these ornaments, not because we'll become very beautiful. No, we all put on ornaments because we have so many defects, and we're thinking maybe this will distract everyone. They can look at my diamond necklace and not see, my blemishes or whatever imperfections that may exist in my material body. So we're always trying to, even if we analyze the situation in this material world, we're always just trying to compensate for so many defects, karmatic defects that we have. And because originally the soul is perfect, we want to be perfect. But we try to compensate with powders and creams and ornaments and clothes and hair and all kinds of things, arranging it in different ways so that we can try to compensate. But in the gopis' case, they put on these things. They thought, when Krishna comes, he will see that we very much appreciated his gifts, and then he will be much more attentive to us than previously. So all these things are going on. Such a melodramatic display of loving emotions, which is being... sometimes people go to theaters and plays because especially the classic theater is... I studied that a little bit. And so classic theater is meant to bring out the human, to display the variety of human emotions. But here we see in this section of the Bhagavatam, what is the real variety of human emotion, of transcendental emotion, how rich it is, and how that rasa, this displays in these pastimes which are being mentioned here, display how rasa can be so beautifully variegated, so wonderfully variegated that how can we actually think that the varieties of this material world can actually make us happy? That when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had seen in the Rath Yatra, when he saw that the Hara Panchami ceremony and the arrogance of Lakshmi Devi going after Jagannath with sticks, bring him home, and chastising his servants, Mahaprabhu was amazed, and he said to Swarup Damodar, just see. And Swarup Damodar said, yes, but this is nothing compared to the sentiments that the gopis display, which are much more refined. This is very gross. The goddess of fortune running after sticks in their hand. The gopis, how they display their displeasure with Krishna, their meeting with Krishna, their different, it's just, it goes on and on. It just, what to speak of Rupa Goswami, his descriptions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjwala Nilamani, all these just varieties of unlimited sentiments. Because in the spiritual world, this is what is happening. What is happening is exchanges of prema. And so exchanges of prema, just like in modern society, as we see as Kali Yuga progresses, everything becomes more, the emphasis in bodily expression. Just like even in recent times, not so long ago, actually what was more appreciated in people was their ability to speak, philosophy, you know, different sciences, different understandings. These were much more appreciated. But now, how somebody can dance. Of course, dancing is appreciated because it's coming from Krishna. You know, appreciating Krishna's dancing, which is very beautiful. But now, the more, everything is becoming so external. So external. Everything is on the bodily platform. Everything is external expressions. So, it's very refreshing to see, because these external things, you know, football, basketball, baseball, you know, how hard you can hit a ball, how hard you can hit the person, how hard you can kick it, how hard you can, you know. And it's so appreciated that these people, for kicking a ball around, make millions of dollars. You know. You can kick a ball, you can hit a ball, you can, you know, beat somebody up, you know, smash their teeth in, and then you get, you know, millions of dollars. And someone who gives transcendental knowledge has to go around begging people, please, can you please listen to this? No time. So you're taking a book, trying to give some transcendental, no time for that. But we'll give millions of dollars to someone who can kick a ball around, you know, or jump in the air, or do something with their physical body. Until someone else comes up and will defeat them. You know. And still, people, just like Yudhisthira Maharaj replied to Yamaraj. He said, what is the most wonderful thing? And the most wonderful thing is that everyone's grandfather has died. Everyone's great-grandfather has died. Everyone's father is dying. But they're thinking, I won't die. No, this is the most wonderful thing. That people can go through the so many years of their life thinking in this way. So even though all these athletes and fighters, and they see that they all get defeated, and ultimately, even if you conquer, you will ultimately be defeated by the next conqueror. No. They just have no understanding of the reality of life. So this is so wonderful, how Krishna is displaying, the gopis are displaying these loving sentiments, which can be appreciated anywhere by anyone. No. The loving sentiments in the exchanges of Krishna with the gopis, exchanges of Krishna with Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, these can be appreciated anywhere by anyone. Whereas any other performance or any other expression cannot necessarily be appreciated by others. No, cannot be. We can't always appreciate these things. Some people can appreciate some things, other people can appreciate other things. But everyone can appreciate Krishna. No. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So, here in this purport, it's mentioned that some Vaishnava authorities, some acharyas, have mentioned that Akrura, when he becomes involved in the intrigues of the Shamantaka jewel, he is actually exiled and has to go to Varanasi. So immediately when one reads that, one would think Akrura is so dear to Krishna and Krishna is so dear to him. How could this be allowed? So Jiva Goswami says, anyone who understands the glories of Gokula could understand that if you drive out this, if you bring out these, this type of lamentation in the gopis, this is the greatest offense. This is the greatest offense. They are so attached to Krishna. Even Lord Brahma was not excused by Krishna, even after offering the most beautiful prayers, full of practically our whole Krishna conscious philosophy is expressed in the prayers of Brahma to Krishna. But still Krishna was not satisfied, because Brahma had separated Krishna from his devotees. Even though it didn't seem to be very serious, it was simply out of curiosity. Of course, there was some false ego there. He wanted to display his prowess, his ability, and his mystical potency. But still, it seemed like Indra was attacking the residents of Vraja. But because his attack brought Krishna, all of his devotees, intimately together in the most wonderful display of Govardhan Leela, where Krishna is exhibiting all five rasas at the same time, which he never does. No. So because Indra created that circumstance, very wonderful circumstance, that Krishna forgave him. But Brahma, he couldn't forgive. So what to speak of causing grief to the gopis? Just is such an unimaginable thing. To cause grief to the gopis. So therefore, Akrura, and it says here in this verse, it's very interesting, it says that he got up in the chariot and he didn't pay any attention to the lamentations of the people, because he had a mission. He was thinking of his mission. And another reason given why Akrura just got up and did this was because Akrura, who had passed all nights speaking with Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, hearing about the effects of Kamsa's, because Akrura, although he was very diplomatic with Kamsa, he was not at all sympathetic. And when he heard from Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda what Kamsa had done, this inspired him to speak about Krishna. And he understood from speaking with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda that their love for Krishna. And he could understand that if he didn't leave early in the morning, that he may not be able to pull Krishna out of Vrindavan. No. But the gopis, they were thinking, just at this moment, just before this happened, they were thinking, we're going to go up and pull Krishna off the chariot. And some of the gopis said, but if we do that, then everyone, all the elders, everyone will understand, what we've been doing. No. They said, well, it doesn't matter, because if Krishna leaves, we'll die. No. So better we pull down Krishna. And even if the elders banish some of us, then we will live in the forest and we'll be able to be with Krishna all the time. No. Because in the day he's with Krishna, and the night he's with Radhika. So we'll be with Krishna day and night. So this is a better position. Let them reject us. And even if some of us are beaten and kept at home as prisoners, then our friends will be able to bring us the remnants of Krishna's meals, Krishna prasadam. They'll bring it to us. And then certainly that will be better than living here without Krishna. Even if we somehow or another survive, how can we live without Krishna? So they were thinking like that, and they were ready to do it. No. They were weighing all the consequences and contemplating. But of course, everything went in favor of Krishna, pulling Krishna off that chariot. But when they started to go, some authorities say that there was a column in the way, because Akrura was just at the entrance of Vrindavan, and there were some columns there at the entrance, so they couldn't get by. They couldn't get to the chariot in time. And others say that because of their loving sentiments and thinking so intensely about Krishna, and then thinking that Krishna might go away, they became paralyzed. No, they just were paralyzed. They couldn't walk. They couldn't even though they wanted to pull Krishna off. And then Akura also seeing this, seeing the lamentation or hearing the lamentation, because he wasn't even looking. He finished his morning duties and he said, "Let's go, Krishna. No, we have to take you away from here quickly. This is a very dangerous place." So it's interesting here also, I just noticed looking at this verse, that it says Kṛta Maitra Adhika. It's interesting that the duties of Akura, or our morning duties, looks like we, everybody here, I'm very happy to see everybody here doing their morning duty of hearing the Bhagavatam. But the word for duty, Maitra, well, what does Maitra mean? It means friend. So actually we should understand from this verse that our duties are our best friends. And this is what Krishna explained to the gopis in Kurukshetra. He said that I only left you because of my duties. And even the gopis here in these previous verses, they were saying that Krishna is just doing this out of duty. No, he'll come back. And then the others say, no. Once he sees Mathura, he won't come back. So this is wonderful display of intimate interchanges of transcendental loving sentiments. But this is, so we should understand that these duties we have are our friends. Our friends always bring us great fortune. Real friends bring us great fortune. So these duties we have, rising early, attending Mangal Arati, either here in the temple or in your home, whatever early may be a relative term. No, Srila Prabhupada defined it around 4 a.m. But you know, even because of one's occupation, family responsibilities, that may be a little adjustable. No, but whatever it is, our morning duties are important. We have to get up. We have to chant the holy name. We should at least do some kind of an artik for our deities, no, if we're not here in the temple. Some artik. No. We were just discussing the other day how Srila Prabhupada said about grihastha life. He said that if one does not worship their deities, they will certainly fall down. No, certainly fall down. So Srila Prabhupada said, not that you can just not, you have to worship the deities. Must worship, otherwise one will fall down. Actually, also Srila Prabhupada said, 1968, he said, everyone must chant 16 rounds. And Prabhupada said, especially the grihasthas. No. Otherwise, so even if a brahmachari, although certainly he should chant 16 rounds minimum, but even somehow or another, if they don't, they're supposed to be. Of course, nowadays we have a modern brahmacharis, you know, have like a schedule, so many hours of service, then they got, you know. We never knew that when I was a brahmachari. There was no such thing as, you know, you got my free time and my, everything was like, you know. Brahmachari meant everyone's servant. And they definitely were engaged 24 hours a day. But so Prabhupada considered maybe a brahmachari may have so many things to do in the temple, somehow or another, someday they may not finish their rounds. But the grihastha must finish their rounds, because grihastha life is very wonderful if you're very Krishna conscious, and can be very illusory if you're not. So it's very important. So these maitri adhika, these morning duties are our very dear friends. Not only morning duties, but every duty. It becomes our very dear friend that takes us, it keeps us on the path of Krishna consciousness. Well, anyway, those are some thoughts I had on this particular section of the Bhagavatam. So I'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes. Here comes the microphone. I'm half deaf nowadays, so I definitely need it more than you do.
Maharaj, we have deities in the temple, and we generally have some service for them. Uh-huh. And then somehow we also have deities at home. So how can we balance taking care of the deities? Should we minimize the home worship and just focus on the deities in the temple, or both?
Well, that's called a double-decker, you know, double treat. You know. I remember there used to be an advertisement for gum, double good, double good. So you get twice the mercy. Srila Prabhupada said in Los Angeles that at one point he said, there's no need for, otherwise talking about everybody that lived right around the temple, there's no need to have deities. You'd simply come and worship the deity here. But then devotees naturally had their own deities, especially as they moved far away. So we have a responsibility. I don't see that many devotees who have personal deities who probably are here all day. And if they do, then maybe if it's a male pujari, then their wife can take care of the home deity. If it's a female pujari, then the husband can take care of the home deity. And of course, home deities, especially if they're Gornitai or Jagannath, they can have more simple worship. If it's Radha and Krishna, there should be a little bit more elaborate worship. So, yeah, we should never neglect anyone. Therefore, one should establish the deity standard at home according to one's service and according to one's abilities. But we should never be negligent to any deity. Otherwise, what's the use of having a deity if you're going to have a deity as like a entertainment, something nice to look at, someone to give me blessings. In other words, let me engage Krishna. He can be the object of a beauty pageant, or he can be, I can just bring him home so he can give me blessings and make me happy. No. We should see the deity as our opportunity in life that we can serve and please the deity. No. And therefore Krishna will be pleased with us. So this is a difficult thing, because generally speaking, even in our desire to go back home, back to Godhead, in the neophyte platform of Krishna consciousness, it's really that we want to escape from the miseries of material existence. Certainly it's not that we just love Krishna. Because if we love Krishna, it would be the same thing that we hear, if we actually really love Krishna, I mean really love him deeply, the same thing the gopis are feeling here, we would feel every day when we have to leave this temple room. We'd be crying. How can I leave Shishi Radha Kala Chanji? But now I have to go to this cruel Kamsa, and work for 8 hours. Bipali Sevi, Kripana Durajan. I have to go serve the Kripanas and the Durajans. But as soon as I can, I will come back and serve the Lord of my heart. And this immediately when we come back, we would run into the temple and sit here for hours simply chanting the holy name, if we really had love for Krishna. So we have some love for Krishna. Certainly every devotee has some love for Krishna. But when we hear this is to intensify our desire to have love for Krishna and to give up our selfish considerations, which are realistic according to our conditioning. But the more we hear about this, the more it will become apparent to us that let me serve Krishna not out of some personal desire for some benefit for myself, but let me serve Krishna out of a desire just to please him. That will be my greatest happiness. So the deity is meant to bring out that desire by making the deity the center of our very existence. Therefore, he's called Ishtadev, my worshipable deity. Any other comment or question? Here comes the microphone. Although you have a pretty strong voice.
Went to Kurukshetra and they made a Rath Yatra cart to bring Krishna to Vrindavan. That was the first Rath Yatra?
No, first Rath Yatra was Of course, first is a very, when you talk about eternal time, first is a very confusing term. But in terms of this millennia, this yuga, this set of yugas, the first ratyatra is when Indradyumna Maharaj, after preparing the deities, and he takes them out on a chariot, you know, and takes them into their temple. So that's the first ratyatra. Satya Yuga. But the gopis, the Ratiyatra that we celebrate by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, I mean, the gopis didn't really build a chariot and bring Krishna back. They didn't do that. They brought Krishna back by their loving sentiments expressed in Kurukshetra, and Krishna came back later after killing Dantavakra. You know, then he came back to Vrindavan. But it's the sentiment. No, the Ratiyatra commemorates the sentiment, the strength of Srimati Radharani's love and the gopis' love that pulls Krishna back to Vrindavan. So we do that on a chariot. Of course, when Krishna came back, he did come back on a chariot, but not at that moment. No. But you can say that's the first Ratiyatra in the mood of Shingara Rasa or you know, conjugal love. That you definitely that's the first one. So any other question? Yeah.
So who's the most fortunate, the rich Vasis or the mature Vasis?
Who's the most fortunate? The Mathura Vasis or the Bridge Vasis? The Bridge Vasis are always most fortunate. Now that was established, of course, in the whole Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Is the first part of it is to establish this, that who is the greatest devotee? And it all comes down to the gopis, and then it comes down to Srimati Radharani. So who is the greatest devotee? Who is the greatest worshipper of Krishna? Even Krishna himself said that in Kurukshetra. He said that actually I'm here in Dwarka only out of a sense of duty. No. I'm here to protect the residents of Dwarka. It's my duty. But my heart is with you in Vrindavan. No.
Yeah. A little bit on his question. Looks like the gopis or looks like the highest stage are all suffering all the time. The separation is not very appealing. And looked at Dwarka Vasis had Krishna with them.
Yes. But Uddhava, he said, he's a Dwarka Vasi, Mathura Vasi and Dwarka Vasi, and he said that even Kamsa is more fortunate than us. No. Because Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna's separation also. But we take Krishna for granted. No. When he leaves the assembly house, we all go home, Krishna goes home, you know, then we come back next day. So Uddhava was expressing he said, Kamsa is very fortunate. The Yadus are not so fortunate. Because they take Krishna for granted. Kamsa, even though he hated Krishna, he was always thinking of it. So he's more fortunate than we are. Of course, this is just sentiment of how important it is. He's expressing how important it is to always think of Krishna. So yes, some of the sentiments expressed by the gopis are from our point of view, because we consider lamentation, because we live in duality, therefore we consider lamentation to be different from happiness. But for the gopis, for those who live on the transcendental platform, their lamentation, although not appealing to us in our dualistic conception, is the same. It's even greater. It's even more relishable. Because the meditation on Krishna becomes so intense that they, when they're with Krishna, he does his pastimes. When they're separated from Krishna, they enact Krishna's pastimes. And they meditate it on. Just like if you're with somebody, you appreciate them to some degree. But when you think about them, When you're not with them, then you remember every little detail. You know? When you're with them, you may not, because you're with them, you're happy, you know. You may not be so intently meditative on every detail. But when you're separated from them, then they, you know, they would think about every Krishna's, every little detail of his transcendental body, every word he said, and they would just churn it again and again in their minds and in their words, with their words, and just intensify their separation. So because separation for us is duality, then it's not so appealing. That's definitely appealing for the gopis. Although certainly they want union with Krishna. They don't want to be separated. But the separation is even more relishable. Yes. If anyone needs exercise, you can just take charge of the microphone class. Get some extra
Maharaj,
workout.
did any of the gopis who were not married, did they actually follow Krishna? Is there any stories of that, of out of their separation to be with Krishna, did they actually go to Dwarka to be with him? Or
no, they didn't go to Dwarka. They wanted to go, but Krishna didn't allow them to go. No. They wanted to go and they didn't want to go because also, as Srimati Radharani expresses in Kurukshetra, you know, how can I conceive of you outside of Vrindavan? You know, how can, you know, I see you here with this helmet, chariots, elephants, soldiers. You're the same Krishna, I'm the same Radha, but not the same. No. So the gopis, they don't venture out of Vrindavan because ultimately Krishna's within their hearts. So they don't venture out of Vrindavan.
Could you explain about Satchibhama, how she's an incarnation of Radha?
She's the expansion of Radharani. You know? And Chandravali is the expansion of Rukmini. Rukmini is the expansion of Chandravali. Because, how is she? Because all the queens of Dwarka are expansions of the gopis, every one of them. So each one of them has a particular characteristic in Dwarka that would be found in the original gopi. So the characteristic of Satyabhama is that she is very rebellious, you know, very left-wing, very Vama, because, you know, that's just her nature, because that's Srimati Radharani's nature. If she doesn't get her way with Krishna, if she's not always with Krishna, then she becomes externally, visibly, and very visibly and externally upset. Whereas Rukmini, although she will feel separation from Krishna because she has the mood of Chandravali, she just swallows it, you know, and just kind of, you know, bears it very painfully, bears the separation. And bears whatever Krishna says to her, jokes with her, she just takes it very seriously. Okay, so I think we'll stop with those questions and continue tomorrow, hopefully with Devamrita Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Kalachand ji ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Jai Gaur Premanandi.